Blog Talk Radio.
In the Greek Testament, the word judgment is taken from the Greek word crisis, C-R-I-S-I-S, crisis. So the Genesis flood was a devastating event. It was an event that collapsed the antitheses. And mind you that the antediluvian world, or the world before the flood, collapsed up the way of its own controversy. So the Genesis flood teaches what God does with regard to sin when humanity finally left God and went on its own way. And so Genesis, into the living world, we have a picture of we have an anthropological picture of man without God. They were practical atheists. They were philosophical atheists. They separated themselves from God. So, which meant that there would be a necessity. This cutting off of God, finite from the infinite, meant that humans had no true integration point for themselves. Unless a finite point has an infinite reference point, it is being served. Once again, unless the finite point of speaking of man has an infinite reference point, then this life is meaningless. There is a necessity to this relationship between God and man that was broken due to sin, and we read that in Genesis chapter 3. However, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, read these words, quote, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was on the surface of the deep, or Tiha, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." So we see in this one that God is prior to creation. God is prior to creation. So the book of Genesis renounces atheism, pantheism, evolutionism, polytheism, the eternity of mass energy, matter, and faithful. God is prior to existence. And so theologians talk about the existence of God, what is the existence of God, the cause of the existence of God. It's prior to creation. God is not created being. The universe is created being. So therefore, the universe is created. So we have the reality of the verse 2 of what the earth was. And apparently, at Hebrew, the earth was frozen. It was this frozen waste. And therefore, the Spirit of God, we hover over this frozen darkness, this frozen wasteland called Shechem, or the roaring deep. The roaring deep. And so the Spirit of God, by hovering over the waters, the frozen waters, get to melt this frozen waterfall. And so, in verse 3, we read, and God said, or Elohim said, let light be. That is, just the people. Light be, light comes. And so we have the synchronicity of word and act. So, this light that is spoken of in Genesis 2 is the creation of the electromagnetic spectrum. It's not the visible light of the sun that comes. There is an order in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, to creation. And so there's a logical process in the way God brought about creation and the way water seems to keep voice. The ground in Genesis is different from what we have now. And so we read that it's that of this from the ground to keep the environment moist and there's more oxygen in the atmosphere at that time. So it would seem from the insects frozen in amber. We can see frozen oxygen molecules also in this amber. So they tell us the story. It's a particular story about what happened during the time when it was broken. So when we move on to chapter 2, chapter 1, there's the creation of the dawn. His wife, please note that he is not called Adam. That's a proper name. He is the Adam. And then we go to chapter 3. There's a story of fall and redemption. That's a quote for us. The Adam and his wife have children. And the Cain slays his brother Abel, whose name means breath. So there was fratricide in Genesis chapter 4. I want you to know what sin does. Sin, the wages of sin are death. And in Genesis 3, when the Adam and his wife sinned, they made themselves aprons for plants, but God came along and made them, covered them with animal skins. So, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Sin requires a life. And in Genesis 3, God promises the coming of his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for the sins of the world. The first Adam had failed in disobedience. The second Adam becomes the life-giving spirit. He becomes the savior of the world. In Genesis chapter 5, we have First Cemetery. The phrase, then he died, occurs 8 times. And please note that in the Old Testament, sin is not thought of as a condition, but as a definite act, whether of thought, word, or deed. And so in Genesis 6, we read that God said in verse 3 that my spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal and his days will be 120 years. So in Genesis 4, we have fratricide. In Genesis 5, we have the first cemetery. And we read in chapter 6, verse 5, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every thought, or that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals, and creatures that move along the ground, and birds of the air. So I am grieved that I have made them. But then, in the midst of the statement of judgment, we have these words in verse 8, that Noah found favor in the eyes of God. The name Noah means rest, and Noah is a type of the coming of the one who will give us the rest of redemption. And so this Noah, beginning in verse 9 of chapter 6, is commissioned by God to build the ark, or the Teva, and he will be the Savior, and his life will preach the gospel of Christ. In chapter 7, God breaks up the great deep, the fountain of the great deep breaks open, the floodgates, all the windows of heaven are open. And so with the water coming up from the breaking up of the tectonic plates and the water descending from the heavens, we have the waters coming down from the heavens and coming up from the earth. So we have the crushing and the collapse of the sinful antediluvian world. God brought it to an end. There was, of course, the perversion of the Nephilim, and the environment was demonic. It was evil. It was wretched. It was darkly sinful. And so God brought it to an end. This fantastic picture, this fantastic narrative, is a picture of what will come in the last days. Jesus said that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in our days, or in the coming of the Son of Man. Now is the accepted time. Now is the end. So what God did in Genesis chapter 7 was the reversal of creation. In fact, some scholars have referred to it as de-creation, the collapsing of the creative activity of God in Genesis 1. In Genesis 7, it's called de-creation. And so, but in chapter 8, we read that God remembered Noah. And then God, we have a second creation given to us in Genesis chapter 8. And so God's wonderful promise of salvation is renewed again, a new covenant. God is our Savior. He wants us to be saved. He wants none to be lost. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.